Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Chris Evans here, and welcome to the latest edition of the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, Greenock's finest Martin Comston has us on the edge of our seats chatting about the long-awaited return of Line of Duty Series 6. We all got to watch Episode 1 via an encoded link. It's as good as ever, if not better. The mischievous TV mastermind Alex Horn spills the beans on the upcoming shenanigans in Season 11 of Taskmaster on Channel 4. Former editorial director of the Sunday Times, Eleanor Mills, lifts the lid on her new supportive venture for women in midlife, noon.org.uk. A music industry legend, Alan McGee, details the history of his iconic record label in the biopic Creation Stories, available now on Sky Cinema. And it was an interview that got me far too excited about days gone by. All of that and loads more still to come. Now, Vassos, tell us, who's first?
He's a former pro footballer who went viral when he celebrated Scotland reaching the Euros. As DS Arnott, he returns to BBC One on Sunday night at 9 p.m. for a much-anticipated sixth series of the gripping Line of Duty. So please welcome a man whose English accent is so good, my wife refuses to believe he's Scottish. It's the brilliant Martin Comston.
Hello, Martin.
Hey, yeah, morning, guys.
Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. How's yourself?
Very well. We're very well. We're very lucky. Everybody's well and happy here, and we're cracking right on, Martin. Every day above ground and all that. So we all watched, well, we nearly all watched. I watched it, and Vassos watched, it doesn't matter. But anyway, I watched episode one of your brand new season of Line of Duty. It's as simple as this, Martin. You know what I'm going to ask you. How come they get it so right when other people get shows like this so wrong?
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's every year it gets slowly, it's really exciting, but a bit more terrifying as it just seems to get bigger and bigger. You know, it's kind of got a life of its own with all the anticipation. So it's the scripts, it all starts from Jed Mercurial. The scripts, once again, were phenomenal. It was a wee bit of a different way of filming with COVID and everything, where we came back. So usually I've got a really good gauge on these things, how it is. This year's a bit different. I'm a bit in the dark myself, just in how it's all turned out. But as I said, the scripts were cracking, so fingers crossed.
Well, it's brilliant. And of course, Kelly McDonald joins the gang this year. We can say that, can't we?
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, we've been really lucky over the years, and it's part of the huge success of the show, these amazing guest stars we've had right from the off. But Kelly's a bit of a Scottish icon, so it's probably the most exciting I've had to have somebody on board, and she's amazing.
Yeah, of course, if people don't know who we're talking about, you will recognise her instantly from Trainspotting and Boardwalk Empire and other amazing, amazing shows. So what can we say about what goes on? Because, you know, something I referenced earlier on was yesterday we were talking about pilot episodes and how sometimes you've got to get through a pilot episode, because pilot episodes have to have so much going for them because they've got to sort of convince the network to buy, you know, whatever may happen next. So they've got to plant a lot of plot bombs that are going to get detonated later. Now, that can mean that the first episode is a bit perfunctory, and it's a bit like, you know, you've got to get through it, push through it, and then on you go to the second episode and the rest of the series, and therein lies the rollercoaster ride. But Line of Duty doesn't do that. Somehow, it hits the ground at 1,000 miles an hour, and it all goes on in the first episode, and you're thinking, you know, all I do as a viewer, I don't know what you think about this, Martin, but all I do as a viewer is I'm 15 minutes in and I'm looking to the heavens and I'm thanking the telly gods for giving me another 6 hours of great stuff to watch on telly, because I am on board for the whole series.
Honestly, Chris, that's actually a relief to hear you say that, because the first episode, exactly as you say, even for us, it is a bit slower just because you're setting everything up. And I think sort of people forget historically, like AC-12 aren't really involved as much as the first one. It's usually setting up in the new story. So there's always that worry with the first one, and you just hope people stick with us. But yeah, I think the first step kicks off pretty well. But from then on, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it goes haywire.
Really?
I think me watching it, I kind of thought, is this a bit slow?
But it's not
possibly
slow.
It's not compared to other shows, but because I know what's coming.
Because often when we get these encoded links, preview links, they send us all episodes for the whole series. BBC haven't done that. They said, you can have one. That's enough. It's like, no, we want all. Come on, we're in show business.
Because there is some proper, I think as well, like probably speaking on behalf of most of the people on the show, Series 3 was our favourite to film because it felt like a culmination of 1, 2 and 3 we were building to this huge climax.
Yeah.
6 feels like it's the climax of everything. This is where it's all been coming to. So from sort of Ep 2 onwards, there's just bombshell after bombshell. So I don't think they could... as much as the media really have been fantastic with us, because I think they realise people don't want the spoilers.
Yeah, they don't.
It's not worth the risk these days to let stuff go because there is some huge things coming.
Wow, what a good sell, my friend. And we haven't said a thing about what's in the first episode because we really can't. AC12, Vassos is new to the party, so just for lots of other people are, because it's not about preaching the converted, it's about saying, making them feel safe, don't worry, you come back, all is as was. But you need to not preach to the choir and preach to some newbies. So tell everybody who AC12 are, what are they doing, your position within that particular arm of the law.
Basically, we're an anti-corruption unit, sort of like the British version of Internal Affairs, cops who investigate cops. And within that, I played DS Arnott, somebody who was transferred from anti-terror after an operation went wrong and somebody died, and he took a stand against his former colleagues. And then he goes on to meet the iconic Ted Hastings, the peerless Kate Fleming, and they go off and chase bad guys who, you know, the problem is the bad guys just happen to be cops.
Yeah.
I'm very, really proud to be part of the show. It's something that it treats sort of the viewers with respect. You know, it doesn't talk down to them. You've got to stay with the show. You've got to pay attention. You can't be tweeting on your phone. And also, I think we had a really sweet spot that we had the streaming and sort of the weekly show at the same time.
Yeah.
The streaming, people can go back and watch series 1, 2, 3, but it's that weekly build. You know, people don't get every episode right away. So they have to give people a chance to kind of talk about their different theories and see what they think's coming next.
All right. Well, you're awesome, Martin. What else is going on in your life that you can tell us about, want to tell us about?
At the minute, I'm filming the second series of a show I did called Traces before heading up to Scotland to do an Amazon show called The Rig. So, yeah, man, exciting times.
Good for you, pal. Well, lots of love to you and your family. Stay safe, and thanks for your amazing work.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
You're very welcome, Martin Comston. You did it again, by the way. I wasn't gonna say it with a guest on the phone. You know, you called it The Line of Duty. You can't have that and the Formula One in the same week, mate. It's called Line of Duty.
The Line of Duty.
What is wrong with him? And there was Gary Lineker, who I know and I've met.
The Match of the Day.
On The Match of the Day. Who was he with?
The Mark Hughes.
The Mark Hughes, talking about The Line of Duty. Yes. What's wrong with him, Rachel?
Oh, I quite like him.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
He's a BAFTA-winning comedian who devised and stars in the biggest show on Channel 4. And much more importantly, he puts the bins out when Rachel tells him to. The hilarious Taskmaster returns to our screens tonight at 9 p.m. So please welcome the man Greg Davies calls Little Alex Horn. It's wonderful, Alex Horn.
Yay!
Hooray! Good
Hi,
morning.
Al. How are you doing?
I'm good. And I sometimes put the bins out even when she doesn't ask me.
Yeah,
not
well,
often.
You sometimes put the bins out when she doesn't ask you. You do sometimes when she asks you, but that's if you're ever there. She hasn't seen you for like years, Alex. This is your wife. You may remember her from such things as Marriage. Rachel, Alex, Alex, Rachel.
Hello.
I hear the voice a lot. I don't see the face a lot.
So, Al, congratulations. Well done with season one of Taskmaster. Season 10, of course, overall, but season one on Channel 4. And the second series kicks in pretty quickly, you know, after the first is over. It's because it's tonight. Now, is that a COVID thing or was that always the plan?
Well, we do a lot of episodes now. We do 10 episodes per series and we do 2 a year. So it's almost half the year we're on the telly, which is nice. I see it like sport, Chris. You know, we do 2 football seasons a year, 2 Taskmaster seasons a year.
Yeah.
It should be on all the time, shouldn't it? I think you might as well be.
Yeah, I think so. But then, you know, what are you saying about your wife?
You'd see me
your
even
relationship?
Less.
Ah. Yes, no, I remember that she's on this programme. And this is different to the normal interview, isn't it?
It is.
There's a lot in play.
A lot of fact-checking going on. And I don't need to triple-check it because she's here and she's actually your wife! Right,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's get on to the question I want the answer to, of course, which is, do you regret not buying the Taskmaster House 11 series in, having had to lease it?
I don't have any regrets, Chris, in life. I don't think I've got quite enough time in my head to think about that.
Right.
And also, I couldn't have more than one house. I think I would fall over, really. So, so the answer is no, but probably the truth is yes.
Okay, well, you know, should that change, should you want to change your mind, and what's the point of having a mind if you never change it, of course, then we can hand you over to our property magnate, Vassos Alexander.
Vassos Alexander, yes.
Well, some property advice.
Yeah, we have very different brains, I think, Vassos and I.
Also, so very different bank accounts by the sounds of it. I thought you were locked and loaded with all the cash, but Vassos can, because you should never bet what you can't afford to lose, and Vassos can clearly afford to lose £250,000.
£5.
Yes, I heard this. Yes, I was with the rest of the nation saying that he's completely wrong.
That's,
sorry, Vassos.
By the way, that's the rest of the nation, Vassos, against you and your gran, who's no longer here to back you up.
£511,000 later, I'll be the one laughing.
Now, you love your sport, don't you, Al? Do you have a little side bet on things now and again?
Well, we went to Galway races last year, or 2 years ago, I suppose, and that's the way I want to do it. With, you can put 50p on a horse, and it doesn't matter if it comes in or
matter.
Not.
It doesn't matter. It's a bit of fun.
But the feeling when it does come in is unbeatable, unfortunately.
Yeah, when the fun stops, stop, Vassos. Yeah. Okay. Have you changed? Have you learnt anything? Have you taken anything on board? No regrets here, by the way. Have you taken anything on board from Series 1 of Taskmaster on Channel 4 to Series 2? Or have you just cracked on because you're already happy with the Taskmaster groove?
We haven't taken anything on board. I would say, because it's been under slightly tricky circumstances, so there's no audience this time and there's no touching. I'm not allowed to be within 2 metres of my hero, Greg. But I guess what we learned was that that's fine, and the format stands up, and the comedians are funny enough not to worry about little things like being next to each other. So no, we've cracked on, and we've tried not to change anything about it. And the comedians this year, because it's people like Lee Mack in it and Charlotte Ritchie, they're so strong. It's just it's a lot of fun.
Well, you've alluded to the lineup. Give us the full race card.
Yes, Jamali Maddox, Charlotte Ritchie, Mike Wozniak, Sarah Kendall, and Lee Mack, who was persuaded to do it by his children. And that's, I think, the reason you should accept any TV show.
Well, that happens a lot. We've talked about this before. He wasn't persuaded to do it by his kids. He was strong-armed into doing it. It was like, Dad, you either do it or you leave.
Yeah. And in fact, one of his kids is a big, big fan who's come up with some tasks for us. One of the studio tasks in the last series was written by Lee Mack's child. So we're employing both of them now.
Hang on a minute. He hasn't had a sort of heads up inside skinny as to what the tasks are going to be this time, so he can be overly funny, has he?
No.
You sure? Are you sure?
I mean, if there was word that there was anything dodgy going on in Taskmaster, we would hear about it. I actually got a message this morning from a law lecturer in Edinburgh University. This is hot off the press, Chris, who wants to teach his first year students how to interpret rules and read legislation using videos from Taskmaster. So we are on the edge of the law.
What has been the best lateral thinking you have encountered via Taskmaster?
It's Richard Osman, the genius Richard Osman. And I think he set the tone for the whole thing. It was Series 2. There was a task. There was a yoga mat on the top of a hill, and there were three yoga balls at the bottom of the hill. And the task was to put those three yoga balls on the yoga mat on the top of the hill. And he interpreted that as on the yoga mat, which is currently on the top of the hill, but he ran up the hill, brought the yoga mat down instead of bringing the yoga balls up. So he put the yoga balls on the yoga mat, which was on the top of the hill. And we said, yep, that's absolutely fine. And that it made us realise, yeah, thinking around it is much better than just doing it directly.
So did he win the series?
Didn't win. I think he lost by a point, and he still is slightly bitter because there was a dispute about points.
Okay. What more do you want to tell us to hook people?
There are two incidents this series,
yes,
Chris, which uh-huh. are defining moments in Taskmaster history. They both involve one of the contestants, but I can't give you any more than that. I've learned from you, Chris. When you say something and say we'll carry that on after the next song, and then you don't even do it after that song.
Don't usually do it that year,
and then
to be honest.
For the rest of the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I just forget. I'm just too excited. I'm in the moment. Al, it's lovely to talk to you. Can't wait to see you again. Can't wait to share a cold drink with you. Let's do that as soon as possible.
Me too. Yes, I'll see you as soon as possible.
All right. I'll have one as soon
as
possible.
And you too, Rachel.
I'll see you this evening.
No, he said me as soon as possible, not you. He loves me. He loves me. Not you. He loves me. Alex.
Bye.
And Greg and the gang from Taskmaster back tonight, Channel 4, for the brand new season. Biggest show on the Channel 4 telly box. 9 p.m. Don't miss it all. Watch it on Catch Up with your kids tomorrow tea time. That's how we play.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
If you're having a midlife wobble, job changing, newly single, empty nest, you'll be thrilled to hear about a new online community to help women find their next steps. According to Noon, middle age is a boon, a happy tune, and can't come too soon. Please welcome the founder of noon.org.uk, the brilliant Eleanor Mills.
Good morning, Eleanor.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Now, before we go any further, we have previous, so... Shall I tell them or shall you tell them?
I'd like to hear your version.
Okay, what do you mean version? I was just going to say that we worked together when you were editor of the Sunday Times magazine. What else would you like to add to that? By the way, feel free.
Well, Chris, you wrote that amazing article for me last January, which was all about that whole thing around wellness and how do you really live a good life. Mm-hmm. And you listed a whole load of things in there that you could do to kind of make your life better. And one of them was talking about Eckhart Tolle and the power of now. Do you remember you did a whole list?
Yeah, I do.
And
yeah.
I left the Sunday Times about exactly this time last year. And I went into a bit of a decline. I'd been there for 23 years. Mm. And it was just so weird. So weird when you stop doing something you've been doing for that for so long. I just felt like all the scaffolding of my life had kind of been taken away. And my kids were going off to uni and I felt real like empty nest pangs. And then I got COVID. And I was really in quite a low ebb. And I remembered you talking about Eckhart Tolle and the power of now. And I started listening to it on my audiobook when I was sick with COVID. And I think it completely changed my life because that was the point where I started thinking about all the other women who were in this situation. And in midlife, you can suddenly get ambushed by everything you thought was all kind of going all right in your life suddenly seems to kind of fall apart. Yeah. And I found that book profoundly helpful. And I also really wanted to try and do something to help all the other women who found themselves at a crossroads in midlife. And there was nowhere to go. I went and looked online and there was just nothing to help. So I decided that I would set something up to help women like who were in the situation I was then.
Well, good for you. And I know these phrases come... sometimes all too easy, but it doesn't mean they're not true. So, you know, for breakdown, see breakthrough. For things happening to you, maybe reframe them as things happening for you. You know, for bottoming out, see start again, phoenix from the flames. And all this can come true if you want it to.
Yes, it really can. But it is one of those things that when you're in it, I remember some friend of mine looking at me and saying, you know, honestly, it'll be all right. Change is difficult.
Yeah.
And being kind of told that change was difficult and that it was okay to be finding it hard was actually one of the most comforting things that anybody said to me, because when you've been quite a kind of high achieving person, everyone goes, oh, you'll be fine. Yep. You know, you're great. You'll be fine. And actually at that moment, you don't feel fine and you don't really feel like it'll ever be fine again. You just kind of feel like you're going down, down, down. And then something helps you hit the bottom so you can push up again.
Yeah.
And for that was a mixture of learning to meditate and the real love and support and community of all the people around me. And then just beginning to think that you could have a next chapter. And that I've always been a real optimist and I think that we can kind of change things and make the world a better place. And so I really wanted to try and do that for everybody who found themselves in that lonely position. I wanted to read something which would give me a map of how to get out of there at that point. And I couldn't really find anything that was directed at women in their midlife.
Okay, and that's how the best things are born, aren't they? You know, the best books are written for the person, by the person who writes it. The same with the movies. You know, we talk to lots of creatives and that they, you know, the best work comes out of needs must. And it's, in a way, if you have a need and it needs fulfilling and you choose to do that yourself, the voice comes more easily. How has that been for you?
I think that's true. I'm a great believer in the President Obama phrase that you need to be the change that you want to see in the world. I really think that that's true. But I also think it's hard. You know, I've been a media person for the last, you know, 23 years. I was kind of editing stuff in the British newspapers and I've done a lot of TV and radio and stuff. But when you start to speak with your own voice, you know, not representing the Sunday Times, but representing you and what you really believe in and what you really care about, I found that shift from being a kind of public voice talking for an organisation to really talking from my heart Quite hard, quite scary, but also massively rewarding. And I also think that you connect with people in a completely different way when you're really speaking your truth. And I think I really went through something that was quite dark. And I really hope that it's okay to say to people, you can go through a dark time and you can come out the other side and feel better. And you can also help people who were in that situation themselves. And the reason why I think I took your advice, Chris, was I remembered that, you know, you had also been through a bit of a dark night yourself, and so that it kind of resonated with me.
I love it. Do us a favor, I know that officially your tag is www.noon.org.uk, yeah, but have a subtitle which just says in brackets afterwards, an amazing load of women.
Okay, we'll do that. Our tag at the moment is so much more to come, but we can do brackets. Chris, yeah, says amazing load of women.
So much more to come via an amazing load of women, or a truckload of amazing women, or a motherload of amazing women. Something like that. Eleanor, it's great to talk to you. I'm so happy that you're well and you're rocking and rolling and back to better than your past best.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're awesome, Eleanor. Awesome. Noon.org.uk. Have a look, see what you think.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we've heard from just some of our superb guests already, and there's still plenty more of them on the way. Frontman of The View, Kyle Faulkner, delves into his solo work, including the brand new single Stress Ball. From his upcoming album, No Love Songs for Laura, Irish personal trainer and YouTube sensation, Caroline Gervin has us all breaking a sweat with her epic home workouts. Telly legend and fitness guru Davina McCall flies the flag for a chock-a-block comic relief 2021 Red Nose Day. A Michelin-starred chef, Theo Randall, shares mouthwatering recipes from his new book, The Italian Deli Cookbook. All of that and more still to come. So let's get right back to the action. Vassos, who's next?
What stories could you expect from someone who was in a punk band with Bobby Gillespie and signed Oasis? The answer is very good ones. The new movie, Creation Stories, is on Sky Cinema from tomorrow. So please welcome a man who's seen it all, done it all, and luckily for us, remembered some of it. It's the one and only Alan McGee.
Morning, Alan.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing, dude?
I'm very well. It's lovely to hear your voice again. Congratulations. What a film. Well done, pal.
Oh, it's great. Irvin and Nick Moran did brilliant. Fantastic film.
Well, let's highlight that. Who is involved in this film? Off you go.
I wrote the book, and then Irvin liked the book and said we should try and do a movie. He developed it with this girl who never made a film before, Shelley Hammond, who's the film producer, done an unbelievable job pulling it together. They came to me and said, let's get Ewan McGregor. I went, well, you know me, so you know what I look like. And I went, I do not look like Ewan McGregor. So 2 days later, they went, what about Spud? And I went, that'll actually work, because he's a brilliant actor.
He is,
and he kind of looks like
me. He's a brilliant actor.
And from that, they then got, Irvin went, Nick Moran's amazing. And I thought, because I hate all that Cockney stuff, do you know what I mean? You know, that Guy Ritchie stuff, you know, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Never liked it. So I was like, I'm not one of these guys. But I met him, and he's a brilliant artist, a brilliant director. I thought, God, it could be good. And then at the last bit, they brought Danny in. And that, suddenly, you had, like, Ewan Bremner, Nick Moran, Irvin Welsh, Danny Boyle. And it was a great team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know all that, to be honest. You know, I knew it in the end, but I flipped up my laptop last night. I was staying in town last night. And I started to watch it, and I thought, this is too good. And I was on my own. I'll be honest with you, Al. There's a hotel over the road, the London Bridge Hotel. And they're allowed to have one person in the whole hotel in lockdown. They can have one guest, five floors. So how rock and roll was it that I had a whole hotel to myself, right? I had your blimmin' film, and I had a bottle of Rioja, right?
Brilliant.
And I had a takeaway, and I poured the first glass of Rioja into the glass, And yeah. I was 10 minutes into your film, and then I picked up the rest of the bottle, or the bottle with the rest of the wine in it, and I poured it down the toilet because I thought, I'm getting too excited. And I have to pour this away because not only will I have this bottle, but then I will go and get another bottle. It just kicked, all the old emotions just kick back in straight away. What's that about?
Maybe I was responsible for turning you onto wine. I don't know, you know. It's really great. I mean, the thing is, it's Irvin Welsh's script, Chris.
Yep.
Half of it is not really factually correct.
Yep.
But once I got into that concept and went, it's an Irvin Welsh film, I'm just in it, then it's cool, you know?
It is really cool. It is really cool. You know, please watch the film, everyone. I know that loads of people listening to Virgin Radio will watch this film. It's on Sky Cinema. It's tomorrow. It's called Creation Stories. And it's some of Alan's life so far. Thank God you're still here to tell some of the tale, Al. Here's a question for you. I wrote loads of questions down last night while I was inspired. Let's just leave it at that, in inverted commas. And one was, because I've never really talked to you about it, because we talk around it and we just talk anyway, but how good did it get? What was the best bit of the whole experience for you, and what was the absolute worst bit, if you can say it, talk about it on the radio?
I'd say the worst bit was I was so debilitated by the drugs that I couldn't access my energy.
Right.
So for 6 months I had like 1 hour of energy practically a day. Mm-hmm. And that was really frustrating, Chris. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but you can't, your body shuts down because your mind's gone, do you know what I mean?
Right.
And you can't access the energy. I don't really understand it, but that's what happened to me. And I suppose the best bit was Oasis being number one in 32 countries Christmas 95, and I went to see The Shrink. I was seeing a therapist, a psychiatrist and a psychoanalyst at the same time, and I was sitting going, I never asked for this level of success. I'm number one in 32 countries. And they laughed exactly like you laugh at me now. And they were just like, what are you going on about? That's why you do it. So I suppose that was as good as it got, you know.
And when you had to do all the mopping up eventually, you know, as we've all had to do and we may have to do again, hopefully nowhere near as much, what was left of your empire?
Oh, it was intact because I got sober. And I kept it, and then I reinvested it all properly.
Right, I see. So you got sober quick enough when there was still enough inertia within this sort of runaway train, because you know, one way of always having enough dosh is just by earning more. It doesn't work. It's not a great philosophy, but it's a song sheet. It's a song sheet that you and I have sung from before. And so you caught it in time, did you?
Yeah, I did. I managed to get sober and. For the last 5 years of the 90s, I was pretty sober, you know.
Alan, it's lovely to talk to you. Well done with the book. Well done for the film. And I hope to see you again soon, one day somewhere.
Yeah, I'll see you with cast, no doubt, at your car fest thing.
Pal. Lots of love.
All right. Bye, man. Bye.
Cheers, Alan. Oh, my goodness me. Great to talk to Alan McGee again. You've got to watch this film tomorrow. You have to watch this film. It's on Sky Cinema. It's called Creation Stories. Irvin Welsh has got a little bit too creative, if you can say that, of Irvin Welsh with a few of the facts, but it's all the fun of the fair. It's all the fun of the rock and roll Ferris wheel. And on it turns. Thank God.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest has presented some of the biggest shows on TV, but she's never been on this show before. She's hosted Red Nose Day since 2005, and tonight she has a car to give away. So here to tell you how you can win a classic and feel fantastic by donating to a wonderful charity. Yes, you really can have it all. It's Davina McCall.
All right, Davina.
Hey, morning.
Morning. How are you today?
I'm very excited.
Good. Now, it's not all about this car, because Current Relief is never about just one thing. It's about millions of things, which is why we love it. It's raised £1 billion and counting for various charities. Yeah. Do we have a sort of more precise figure, Davina, over the years?
I do not have a more precise figure, but I think £1 billion is is a lot.
Okay, it is a lot. We don't have to think that. We know that £1 billion is a lot. But I think it is over £1 billion and counting.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's raised a lot. It's raised over £1 billion.
Well done. And you've been there for loads of it. Do you remember your first ever Red Nose Day, hosting your first ever Red Nose Day event, and how you felt at the time?
Well, I remember the first time I went to go and see what Red Nose Day money does. And that was a really life-changing trip. I went out to go and see a project where they were taking people who'd been in a slum and their homes were decimated at will, like whenever the people felt that they wanted to come and reclaim their land. So everybody was homeless. They were just kind of moving from area to area. And I met a little girl called Eunice, and via Comet Release money, they got a grant to go and get a permanent piece of land via a loan, which they then repaid, which got passed on to some more people who could then use the loan to buy their own piece of land, which then got repaid. So it just kept doing good. But this girl, Eunice, I kept in touch with, and she ended up going to university and ended up becoming a doctor.
Oh, wow. That's the best story ever. And that's what Comet Relief's all about. Now, Davina famously doesn't drink. I famously do. For those of us who do, the more cold drinks you have tonight, you know, keeping it sort of semi-responsibly, the more generous you'll become. That's how drinking alcohol works on a Friday for Comet Relief. So tonight, drink for charity, everyone. And then when Davina comes on and she tells us stories like that, you'll go, oh, come on, how much are we giving so far?
Have one for me.
Lump it on, double it. Because it does work, doesn't it, Davina? And how is hosting a night on Comet Relief nowadays? You know, what is the vibe? I mean, it'd be entirely different this year,
well,
won't it?
Well, it's very, very strange this year, obviously, because we don't have anybody in the studio and we're all quite a long way apart. But just to be stood next to Lenny is really, really nice because I was presenting with him the first time I ever presented back in 2005. And he really, for me, epitomises Comet Relief, and he knows the work that they've done, and he lives and breathes it. So it's really nice to be with him. And obviously, Paddy is hilarious. We've got David Tennant on tonight, who is, I mean, David Tennant, you must know David, right?
Yeah.
He's like, he's obviously like an amazing actor, but he's such a good presenter.
I know, it's really annoying,
and
isn't it?
And I think it's quite hard to do both things, but he's brilliant at presenting. And then obviously the gorgeous Alicia. And then the thing that I wanted to talk to specifically about today was Carfest have donated this amazing gift for this show that's coming on after 10 o'clock, which is hosted by Amanda Holden and Jason Manford. And it's called the Great Comic Relief Prize-a-thon. So it's on at 10 o'clock. And basically, if you want to donate £10 and you're sufficiently merry by then, you can also enter a prize draw.
Yes.
Which is amazing because it's a win-win, right? Comic Relief get some of your money and you get the opportunity to win some crazy, crazy prizes. Now, one of them I saw in the car park yesterday, Chris.
It's beautiful. I've not seen it in the flesh. What's it like?
Oh, it's gorgeous. when I saw what we were talking about and then I got there yesterday, I thought, I think that's it. And then I read that it was yellow. It's, oh my gosh. So it's a 1970 VW Common Gear, which is such a sexy car. It's a coupe manual. It's the original Carmen, California Carmen, and it's in pampas yellow with a tan interior.
No. It looks like a little duckling. We've had ducklings hatching in the Evans household this week, and it's like the car version. It's like the car version of this. So we had a choice of cars. We were going to go for, actually, at one point, we were going to go for two, and it was going to be the Beauty and the Beast. Of course, the Carmen Gear is the Beauty, and the Beast was going to be this sort of massive growling Corvette. Drop top. But Rich and I were talking about it. Let's just go for one and we can do that again next year. But we think this is a very comic reliefy, sort of comic relief friendly car. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and it is a car that you cannot not love.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Isn't it is so beautiful and so pretty, and everybody would look amazing in it. And I think it is just an amazing prize. And that's the thing about this show. In the show, during the show, there are going to be other enormous prizes that you can enter the draw for. So it's really worth tuning in or staying with us until 10 o'clock tonight, because that's going to be some great, great prizes.
Davina, you are awesome. I love you. Have a great night on the telly tonight.
Too.
Give my love to all the gang there, especially
I
Lenny,
will.
The king of Comet Relief, and Richard and Susie, and all the gang.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're the best. All right, tonight.
Lots of love.
Lots of love. 7 p.m. BBC One. It's the big Comet Relief show. If you want to win the car, have a look at it at Virgin Radio UK on Insta and text the word car to 81155. All the details, T's and C's, are on the Comet Relief website, which you can get to automatically if you just swipe up.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest stars in a promotional video where he smashes up a studio. Now, who on earth would do something like
silly
that?
Idea. Silly idea.
The brilliant frontman of The View. His solo career is really catching fire. He wrote his new single, Stress Ball, in a taxi on the way to work. Please welcome the ridiculously talented Kyle Faulkner.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's just been a bit chaotic. I've just been getting the kids to nursery and brushing teeth and getting nappies on. It's been good.
Right, that's up in Dundee. So how are you with schooling? What's going on with lockdown? What are the rules where you are?
I think they're just starting to loosen up. But I've got a two-year-old and a four-year-old, so oh. They're both going to nursery, so there's no, it's not quite homeschooling, but it's pretty chaotic.
All right, good fun. It's exciting as well. So how are you feeling, my friend? Did you have to postpone the release of this? Because I believe it's scheduled for June now.
Yeah, I actually recorded it last year in, like, August.
Okay.
And when I met Alan McGee, I was wanting to release it earlier, but he was like, no, hold off, let's make it a proper release and we'll get you back and we'll get on the radio and we'll make it a big thing. So I was like, no, I want to release it before Christmas of last year, but it never happened. So I'm just glad it's all going great.
Now, people listening to the show will be thinking, hang on a minute, I thought Alan McGee was a guest on the show today. He's just been mentioned by Kyle. Is that it? No, this is all serendipity. So, Kyle, Alan is on the show in a bit to talk about this new film, which is a biopic of some of his life, his rock and roll years. And by the way, he's still cracking on in that world and plenty of his life still yet to live. Thank goodness. And if you watch the film, you think, well, it was touch and go for a while. The movie's creation stories. It's on Sky Cinema from tomorrow. You've seen it. I loved it. What did you think?
I thought it was outstanding. It was really emotional. I actually got McGee sent me it like 3 months ago and said, like, just have a little watch and tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah.
I was in tears and I sent him a sentimental text saying, wow. And he was like, yeah, he's going, that's my life, man. All documented now. So it was pretty cool, man.
Now, we were there, you know, and we had it all for the taking and we made the most of it as much as we could and we left nothing on the pitch in the 90s. What was your take? Because you're like a couple of generations younger than me and Alan. What was your take on that scene, the Oasis scene, Stone Roses, Primal Scream, Amy Winehouse, etc.?
Well, that's like my favourite music. That was when I started to want to play the guitar and it still seems like it was a dream, you know, all that stuff. When you hear all the stories and stuff, it's still... Even when you speak to Liam Gallagher or you speak to Al McGee, it's all, they all just, like, it was just a big hoo-ha. It was like, you don't even know if it was real. It could have been fake.
That's how it feels. That's how it feels to me. I was watching it last night and I was thinking, my goodness me. Because I often say, you know, people say, if you could go back to any moment in history, where would you go? And I always say, I would like to be a teenager in the 60s, late teens, early 20s. Sort of circa 61, 62, 63 till about 67. But actually now, with the benefit of perspective from the 90s, I think we had it pretty good then too. I mean, are you slightly envious of us? What's it like? What was it like for your generation as a teenager? What's it like for you as a 30-something now?
When I was like what was I in the 90s? I was born in 87, so like the 90s were like... I kind of remember Spice Girls and like just getting to Oasis and stuff, but it was more like in my teens I got into everything from the 90s, like my late teens. So,
for example, because I was trying to think last night, I thought, what is the subsequent generation's equivalent of what we had then? Because I was most worried about my eldest son, who's 12, and about what's going on with him now. Because, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm out of touch, but there doesn't seem to be, you know, that kind of sort of pent-up frustration, bedroom frustration that explodes into artistry because they're now being drawn into the world, the virtual world of gaming and computers, as opposed to, you know, exploding from their own source with energy, emotion, and the sort of need to communicate or to get whatever it is inside them out.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you don't really see people like kids on the streets anymore. It used to be like big gangs at the shops and like congregations of people playing football, and not just because of COVID, but you don't really see, the kids are all in their house on their computers now, and it's which is cool. But I mean, I feel like there's going to be an implosion of something coming soon, like something great from all the new generation, like they've been working on something like outstanding
without us knowing about it. So when you were in your teens, so who were the bands that you revered in the noughties, for example?
Well, when we first started as a band, the Libertines are kind of like our band that we loved. Got and it. We loved the Clash and stuff as well. It was the Clash are who we wanted to be, but it was Oasis, the Clash, and the Libertines. But when we knew that the Libertines were doing it and we saw them, we were like, oh, we could actually do that. Like, we could. It's not that far away. Because when you looked at Oasis, you were like, that's a massive deal, watching them on Main Road and like Nebworth, that was huge. But when you saw bands like the Libertines playing in small pubs and playing at people's houses, we thought we could do that. We pretty much do that every weekend anyway, so that's what inspired us to do it.
Oh, that's interesting you say the Libertines. Yeah, that's obvious now you've said it. It wasn't obvious at all beforehand. Were there any other bands flanking the Libertines on either side, or were they sort of head and shoulders above the rest?
Well, they weren't my favourite band at the time. My favourite bands were actually Keen. Remember Keen?
Yeah, like, I love Keen.
Tom Chaplin.
I love
Keen. They were my favourite band, like, as a songwriter, but being in The View, we all had different style of music and different tastes, but when I first got into writing, like first started playing piano and guitar, Keane was always like, when that album Hopes and Fears came out, I was blown away by it. I was like, wow, it just completely changed my life, that record.
Been lovely to talk to you, Kyle. Really nice to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
She's a personal trainer who'll make you sweat so hard, all her workouts come with a flood warning. She counts Natasha Evans as one of her almost a million disciples, and she's already racked up 75 million views on her YouTube channel. Please welcome the fitness sensation that is Epic, Caroline Gervin.
Hello, Caroline, live from County Antrim.
Hi there, how are you? Thank
I'm
you.
Very
Thank
well.
You for having me on, Chris.
Okay, now I hear you. You're very welcome. It's a thrill for us, believe me, and the honour and joy is all ours. Now, Marvellous Mirror, our executive, she says you're a bit nervous. I can't quite get my head around that, but I do believe you. But now I could say, you know how it feels to begin to embark upon maybe 1 second of 1 minute of one of your workouts for people who've never done it before?
Yeah, that little bit of anticipation and a little bit of nervousness, I suppose, makes you sometimes perform that little bit better.
Caroline, you are so good at your job. How did you get into fitness?
I've always been active, actually, all my life. I have fond memories of going out just for nice wee runs when the sun was out, even when I was a teenager, just myself going out and using bushes as hedges, as hurdles, like jumping over hedges. And looking back on it, I've always sort of been very active. I played all sports in school, so I think it makes you feel amazing, and that's really it, you know.
And so how did the now legendary Epic workouts happen?
That was completely unintentional in a way that it started. It was just the lockdown. I obviously wasn't able to train the lovely people that I've trained for years, and I just thought I would grab my phone, record a simple workout that I was doing at home that day, and I was sending it to the people who I trained via WhatsApp, etc. But that wasn't very good on the data in the house. It was taking a lot of the data. So one of them suggested putting it on YouTube so they could watch it on their TV and follow along. So I did that, and then a few comments came through of people watching it that I didn't know. So it just started to grow from there. And then obviously over time people were asking for more sort of scheduled work so they sort of could plan their week.
Yeah.
And that was how Epic really just came about, a little bit more structure for people to sort of help them.
And of course, all the time you're learning the language of YouTube, and your channel now and your workouts, they look so slick and so professional. And you sent us that beautiful message for Tash on Mother's Day. And again, you know, such a top pro polished job. So what have other skills other than fitness have you had to take on board?
Yeah, in the last 365 days, I've really learned what Instagram is. I have learned a lot about editing and also taking photographs, because I'm really not a person who would take like pictures of themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So trying to get nice pictures and everything has been a learning experience. So I did upgrade from my phone to a camera a few months ago, which is a big step. So it just means that it's a little bit more aesthetically pleasing for everybody who's watching it at home, you know. So I do try to make it as nice as as nice as I can for them to watch.
Yeah, and it really comes across that you're not one of those kind of people, as you put it. Even though you are amazingly photogenic and take a great picture, you sort of get all that. And there's a certain, you have this X factor, you know, of authenticity, which Tash, I mean, Tash can smell a whopping of a red herring from like a million miles away. And she just knew, she sensed instinctively straight away that you were the real deal. From a tipping point of view, how many tipping points have you experienced from a follower's point of view? So 10,000, 100,000, which was the biggest deal for you? When did you see the biggest sort of quantum and seismic shift in what you had to then do to service the audience that you have almost accidentally acquired?
Well, when I actually reached 100 subscribers, I mean, I was completely blown away. I couldn't believe
that
100 people were subscribed.
Well, good for you.
To me in my living room. But then as time went on, and certainly I hit like 100,000, I mean, it's just been a roller coaster, and I really realized that I wanted to up it and make it even better for people in the way that I can. You know, it's not always perfect and I don't have a big studio, but I just make it as best as that I can for them. You know, they're always the community. The people are always in my head. Every single workout that I write down, how are they going to like it? Okay, they're going to find this part, you know, a wee bit tough, so maybe give them a little bit of break for the next exercise and things like that, and really try and encourage them. And, you know, a smile goes a long way as well, because I know that there's definitely hard moments in the workout. So just even that smile, like, to show I'm struggling too, it can help people push through.
The connection that people have with you virtually is incredible. You know, Tash burst into tears when the original Epic series was over, because she thought that was it, and she was crying for most of the morning. Do you know that?
Yeah. Do you know, so did I.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Epic 1 has happened. Epic 2 has happened. You can play catch-up if you like, if you're brave enough, if you're big enough. It's either go big or go home, but you're at home anyway, so I don't know what... go big or stay home, or go to the other room or the spare room. But Epic Fire is on the way. Tell us briefly about Epic Fire, because we've got to go. Thanks for your time, Caroline.
Oh, yes, of course. Epic Heat is going
Epic
to be
Heat,
condensed.
Sorry. Epic Heat, yep. There you go.
It's going to be a condensed 10-week, 30-minute, 5-days-a-week training schedule.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to turn it up, and spring and summer coming, we're going to hopefully get outdoors more. So 30 minutes a day, you can get a solid workout done.
Okay, now lots of people, we have these festivals over here in the UK, Carfest North, Carfest South and Retro Carfest. We also have Runfest, and we have Life Lessons, and they are gagging for you to come over and do some live workout sessions with us. Will you do that?
Oh, wow. absolutely. That sounds really good. Yes.
Uh-huh. If you can fit us in, we would love to have you. Caroline, you're an absolute superstar. Thanks for being on the show.
No, Chris, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody, and thank you to all the people who join me every day. Thank you.
She is super cool. She's a super, super fantastic human being.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
He's the Italian chef. Italian chefs depend on, and you would not believe what he can conjure with what's currently lurking in your kitchen cupboard. His latest blockbuster, The Italian Deli Cookbook, is already number one, and it's not out till Thursday. So please welcome a saucy Theo, even better than Dolmio. It's Theo Randall.
Very good.
What an introduction. Thank you so much. Better than Dolmio. That's a real treat. Thank you.
How are you, Theo?
I'm great, Chris. I really wish I was with you, though.
So do I. But your food's here, and if I had to choose between the two, I would actually go for the food. I'd like you both to be here.
Well, that's a compliment, really.
Of course it is. It's more than a compliment. Your book is so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Produce a book that's got such depth of content. But this cover could not have been cheap. It's embossed. Now, I know, because I know about the publishing world a bit, having, you know, three books and one to come. And this is a decision, isn't it? To make a book so beautiful is a business decision.
Well, I think I was very lucky with the publishers. Quadrille did a brilliant job on the book, and I'm so happy with it. I mean, the cover makes such a difference.
It does.
They never judge a book by its cover, but honestly, that cover is superb.
Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can sell a book by its cover.
You can sell a book by its cover.
Absolutely.
Very good point.
But thank goodness, inside the wrapping paper, there's nothing but joy. Now, the girls on the show have been cooking furiously on your behalf and to our benefit. Now, Vassas and I, you know, because we've told you this, we've been vegan for a year now, but I'm going to break it. I'm going to break it on the air, because I can't not have what Hell's Bells has cooked for me from your book. Hell's Bells, remind us one more time.
So this is crostini with broad bean puree.
puree and braised Swiss chard.
Tell us more about it, please, Theo.
Okay, so this is a classic Pugliese dish. The broad beans, you crush them up, you get an amazing taste. You got the Swiss chard, and it's just a kind of really earthy, delicious taste with that crostini, which is really crispy, and then you've got that delicious olive oil to go with it. Yeah, I'm so pleased you're breaking your veganism. There are lots of vegan recipes in the book, as I'm sure you've seen already.
And also, we can adapt, and people know. You know, if you've been into your veganism for a year, you're batch cooking and you're messing about with different things and various things. Sorry, Jane, you haven't got one of these. There you go, Aussie Jane. Aussie Jane's been, she's been aubergining. Right, should we all chomp it? We've never done this. After three, all together. Three, two, one. Mm. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's great.
There's nothing better than that, Theo. There's nothing.
Knowledge is a good sign when you're eating, I tell you.
There's nothing better than that. You don't need the other 99 recipes. It could have just been the one. You save a fortune on
I
paper.
I think it would have been a great seller. That's any problem.
So, other highlights in there from your point of view? I mean, they all would be. Otherwise, they wouldn't make it to the 100 glorious recipes celebrating the best of Italian ingredients.
Well, I mean, there's lots of recipes, and there are quite a few vegan recipes. I mean, you know, there's two. I'm looking at two risottos at the moment. Tomato yellow courgette risotto. Mm-hmm. Is a vegan recipe, and I kind of that's been on our vegan menu before we closed, which was lovely. And then there's also another one, asparagus, which is so in season now. English asparagus is coming into season in the next few weeks, and there's going to be so much of it. And so support your local farmers, and buy as much as you possibly can. And asparagus with sugar snap pea risotto. Woo-hoo! With roasted garlic. And you can't believe there's no... I mean, it doesn't need any cheese, doesn't need any butter. It's got so much flavour. And the roasted garlic just gives it that kind of oomph and that sort of flavour, that sort of roasted taste which you need. So, and then there's a chocolate tart. And I'm sure you... Haven't you made a chocolate tart, the vegan chocolate tart?
Hell's Bells is in there with a vegan chocolate tart! By the way, we should have sent you photographs, Theo, because you will not be disappointed. The presentation is of such high quality here today.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, do send me some photographs.
I will be able to send you some. We'll take some.
Okay, amazing.
Hell's Bells, any bumps in the road with this, or was it pretty plain sailing?
No, really. Do you know what? That's almonds, olive oil, chocolate, coffee.
But when you eat it, you don't even think that it needs the butter and it's or egg. It's just it sets so nicely, and olive oil and chocolate is a great combination.
Okay, if you had to choose the holy trinity of ingredients, what would be yours? Mine would be garlic, capers, and probably tomatoes. Maybe chickpeas.
Probably
not
that far off you, actually. Mine would probably include anchovy, which I know is not everyone's favourite, but the flavour of anchovy, sort of crumbled up and seasoned, is delicious. Capers, I absolutely love. Sicilian capers are incredible. Olive oil comes naturally, I suppose. We're allowed olive oil, but for me, an olive, a really lovely sweet olive, like a Tagliasca olive from Liguria, for me is heaven.
See, desert island dishes is what we're talking about, really.
It really is.
There's a programme there. There could also be a lawsuit, I would imagine. But
it's been done before.
For capers, or for anchovies, sea capers, you know, when you can't have anchovies, it's not a dissimilar bite to it. That, you know, it's got that sort of real epicentre of flavour, a caper, like an anchovy house.
It's not, I agree, but there are good capers and there are bad capers. Mm. And I always think the little capers, the little tiny ones, have got so much flavour. And, you know, whenever I go on holiday, I always get, when we go to Puglia in the summer, we did a few years ago, Puglia in the summer, and, you know, there's this stall that all they sell is capers and olives. And I always go back, you know, I get two big jars of these capers and olives. Usually tend to last me the year. But the capers are in salt, in these big chunks of salt, and you basically just wash the salt off. And these capers are so sweet. They're a wonderful thing, a caper.
Theo, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
You're awesome. I love you so
much.
Love
you too.
Cheers, pal. Right, the Deli Italian Cookbook doesn't get any better. Doesn't get any better. And if it does, I don't want it.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast. And you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.